Tales of Zendaria, Chapter 2, Trust. April had endured a restless night's sleep and felt exhausted. She struggled out of bed, padded around her room, and slowly got dressed. Sunlight beamed through the open window, and birds chirped merrily outside, gently mocking her lack of sleep. She couldn't take her mind off the harrowing nightmare about the man with the blue eyes. It hadn't felt like a nightmare. It felt real. Willow, who had slept at April's side the whole night, stretched her way off the bed, shook herself in the way that only a dog can, and leapt forward to savage her shiny green ball. A good savaging would always start the day off right. "What do you think it was, girl?" April asked. Willow's eyes raised up to look at her friend, ball still in her mouth. "You don't know either, eh?" Willow chomped at the ball a couple more times in response. They made their way downstairs and sat at the dining table for breakfast. Already laid out was a spread of meats, cheeses, breads, pastries, jams, and cereals. Miss Regibald was undoubtedly somewhere behind the scenes, having put all this together. April poured herself some tea, and Willow eyed up her usual breakfast of luncheon meats piled up in her bowl. She didn't eat until April ate. That was the rule she'd made for herself, but until then she was happy to stare at the delicious-looking cold cuts. April spread Zybar berry jam on a Zendarian pastry and took a bite of the crispy sweet exterior. At the exact same moment, Willow began chomping away at her breakfast. It was a Monday, or a mundane as the king had always called it, and so he would already be busy in his study working at diplomatic matters or problems of the people or shoring up defences on the borders. It wasn't an easy job ruling a country. A fact April knew all too well, so she was perfectly happy spending her days away from all that boring stuff. Instead, she had lessons, with a range of specialist tutors. Over the years, they had covered mathematics, language, history, the arts, classics, and sciences, but this year she had finally been learning of magics. Her theoretical knowledge was already quite sturdy because she found the subject so fascinating, but now it was time to learn how to actually do magic. The morning would be spent with Madame Dreyfus studying telemancy, the movement of objects using magic. As April checked her schedule, she noticed the afternoon was curiously blank. This meant either her father hadn't found an appropriate tutor for the lesson yet, or something else was afoot. In any case, she wouldn't find out until later, and so off she went to the courtyard, Willow strolling happily after her. Magics were always better practiced outdoors, after all.
"You're late, Miss Quoesteed?"
a shrill voice belted across the courtyard.
"Sorry, Madame Dreyfus. I didn't sleep well," replied April.
"Shouldn't you be addressing me as Princess, Quoesteed?" "I'll call you Princess the second you begin acting like one, and showing up on time would be the first step in that direction."
Madame Dreyfus was dour of appearance and severe in manner, but there were few in Zendaria better at telemancy. Her hair was white with flecks of black and pinned up into a beehive, much in contrast to her long-sleeved, poofy black dress that flowed to the ground.
"We'll pick up where we left off last week."
"Right, lifting a small object and putting it back down again," April responded, unsatisfied.
"Don't underestimate the difficulty of the task before you. Not only that, but the basics are essential to ensuring you don't end up destroying the object when practicing more advanced telemancy. You don't want it to rebound when trying to move yourself or your dog, do you?"
April winced at the thought. Most telemancy rebounds of living creatures had ended messily.
"No, Madame Dreyfus."
"Good. Now, you see the pencil on the table there?"
She gestured to a pencil on the sandstone table in the center of the courtyard.
"Slow your mind, focus, and lift it."
April walked toward the table until she was a few paces from the pencil, took a deep breath, and closed her eyes. She felt a tremendous effort building from within, a tension in her stomach, and then the rest of her muscles seized until even her face was scrunched up. Her eyes flung open, and she scowled at the pencil with all she could muster.
"Move! Move!" April shouted.
The pencil laid still, clueless as to what was going on.
"Miss Quoesteed, please cease the incontinent straining sounds," Madame Dreyfus sighed. "You're not so much slowing your mind as filling it up."
April unclenched and felt her body relax.
"What am I doing wrong?"
"You're tensing your body, clouding your mind, and trying to move the object with force." Not only is that counterintuitive, but if you do manage to muster up some magic, with that amount of tension, the pencil will likely explode. Remember, tension is the enemy.
Madame Dreyfel gracefully walked towards April, skirting around Willow, who was laid on the floor watching the goings-on. She took April's arms and gently pulled them down, then pushed April's back forward slightly.
Now, breathe.
A few moments of adjusting her posture, and April felt as relaxed as she ever had, like she was laying on a bed of parabeek feathers or floating in the waters of Sunspell.
Good. Now, staying exactly as you are, look at the object you wish to move.
April's eyes set on the pencil that previously caused her so much stress and almost couldn't bring herself to care about it.
Ask the object to move.
Ask it, April replied in a daze. Would you prefer to be moved by force or to move by your own volition when asked?
Consent is the only way to avoid distraction.
What if it doesn't want to move? April asked.
Then you shouldn't move it.
However, most things will be happy to oblige, provided you have the good manners to ask first. April stared at the pencil and silently asked it to move. A voice asked, Where? To the left a bit, she supposed. Slowly, so slow that it couldn't possibly have been the wind, the pencil rolled an inch or so to the right. Confused, April stared at it.
Ah, you meant your left. Do be specific.
Accordingly, the pencil adjusted and rolled 2 inches to the left. A mirthful smile spread across Madame Dreyfel's face.
Well done, Miss Postide. I see you've had your first lesson in active listening.
April felt as though she'd snapped out of her haze and glanced from the pencil to Madame Dreyfel's face and back again.
It moved, April shouted ecstatically. It moved, and it talked?
You thought we're the only creatures who can communicate?
No, I suppose I'd never thought about it before.
All living things and that which is derived from living things can communicate. In a way, it's all made of life or energy at its base level, and so is no different from us. You and I are just the same as that pencil or the table it stands on.
Madame Dreyfel looked at the table and levitated it into the air, spinning it slowly.
Wait, all living things? So Willow can talk?
April asked excitedly. Willow sat up and cocked her head, ears pricked up.
Not exactly. One cannot communicate with the animal directly, but what the animal is made of. It's the thing you have most in common, after all.
Oh, April looked down. Still, that's kind of amazing.
Indeed, but you're a long way from attempting telemancy with a live subject. For now, we will continue mastery of moving the pencil.
Madame Dreyfel set the table down.
Now, do it again, but aim for moving the object further. And as I'm sure you've just learned, be specific.
The rest of the morning was spent focusing, relaxing, clearing minds, and talking to a pencil. By midday, the sun was high, burning hot, and April was exhausted and hungry. She bowed in deference to Madame Dreyfel, wished her farewell, and rushed back to the dining hall for some well-earned lunch. Willow had been thinking about lunch since she finished her breakfast and eagerly followed. This time the king was in his rightful place at the head of the table, eyeing up the various plates of salad, vegetables, lean meats, and sauces.
"Ah, April, how are your morning studies?" he asked, looking up from the feast.
"Good, thank you, Dad. I managed to move a pencil with telemancy," April said excitedly, sitting next to her father.
Willow again sat patiently between them, awaiting her bowl full of food.
"That's marvelous. Madame Dreyfel isn't being too hard on you, then."
The king chuckled and lifted a spoonful of fruits onto his plate.
"She's not much fun, but she's amazing at magics. She was levitating the table today."
"Agnes has always been a show-off."
April began filling Willow's bowl with various vegetables, grains, and plentiful helpings of meat. Willow salivated onto the floor at the sight of it all.
"What's happening this afternoon, Dad? I noticed my schedule is clear."
The king smiled wryly.
"Noticed that, did we?" he said after shoveling a forkful of greens into his mouth. "We were having problems finding you an appropriate tutor, but that seems to have resolved itself quite nicely."
"Oh?"
April eyed him curiously, lowering Willow's bowl to the floor. "I'll leave it as a surprise, but I think you'll be pleased with this afternoon's teachings," he grinned.
Willow chomped voraciously at her lunch, munching on tender stems and poultry meat.
All right. What's my tutor's name? April asked.
Selance. Ranger Selance.
April's eyes lit up. A ranger?
That's right. As for the specialism, I'll leave that for him to show you, the king winked at his daughter.
Wow! A real-life ranger teaching me. Do you think he'll teach me how to capture people and send them off to prison? She asked excitedly.
I hope not, the king replied. I may not have thought this through.
Too late now, April said, shoveling food into her mouth as fast as she could.
Eating faster doesn't make time go faster, you know.
But he might be there early or something.
King Quo-Steed couldn't help but smile at his daughter.
She was so excited.
Sure enough, she ate so quickly she was finished at the same time as Willow, and after a quick mug of sweet tea, she got up to leave.
Dad?
Upper terrace, west side of the palace, he smiled genially.
Thanks!
She set off at a sprint up the stairs, with Willow running alongside, hoping it was a race. As she was determined to win the race but didn't know where they were going, Willow kept disappearing off to different parts of the palace, though she always caught back up to April. Eventually, they made it to the upper terrace with 15 minutes to spare. No one was there yet. As they caught their breath, April wondered what she'd be learning that required them to be on the roof. Aeromancy, maybe? Controlling the wind and weather would surely best be an outside activity. There was no telling. The pair sat down in the heat and waited. After a while, she took out her Tick-a-Tock watch and eyed it suspiciously. It seemed to be moving awfully slowly, after all. Dead as the clock struck one, a black blur tore down from above and landed without a sound in front of them. The blur unbent its knees and stood tall before April. A flash of the previous evening's nightmare struck through her mind as sure enough she was staring down the same pair of lightning blue eyes that tore apart the cabin in Dryleaf Forest. She stumbled backwards, paralyzed and entirely unsure what to do. He was too fast. There was no way to outrun him. Willow was emitting a low, guttural growl and baring her teeth at the man, ready to attack. Backed into an impossible situation, April drew her wooden sword from the belt on her dress and entered her fighting stance. The man's eyes narrowed.
Princess,
before he could finish, April swung the sword at his head in a delicate flick of the wrist motion. She had no time to listen to an assassin. He dodged with ease and took a step back. Seeing an opportunity, April lunged into a series of attacks, aiming for vital spots that could at least cause some damage with a wooden sword. The man danced around her blade, feet maneuvering effortlessly out of her way until his back was against the stone balustrade encompassing the terrace. April once more swung at the man's head, secure in the knowledge that he could no longer dodge backwards. Her blade stopped with a thunk in midair. He had caught the sword. A risky move with steel, but an easier decision with carved wood. His eyes flashed, and within a split second the wooden blade caught fire. He stared through her, hand aflame, unfeeling. April quickly let go of the sword and stumbled backward to the ground, fearing what would come next. Willow leapt at the man's throat, snarling and desperate to protect April. He raised his other hand at the dog and out sprang an enormous blast of wind, which enveloped Willow. The powerful circular current suspended her in midair and rendered her utterly powerless.
"Willow!" April shouted. "Let her go!"
"Are you quite finished?" the man uttered, voice as soft as silk. He dropped the charred wooden sword, which clattered onto the floor.
"Who are you?"
April demanded. The man sighed heavily.
"Let me first be clear. You were in Dryleaf Forest yesterday, were you not? And you saw something you clearly did not understand. Upon meeting me again, your response was to attack that which you did not understand. This way of thinking has been a scourge upon Zendaria and lands beyond, and I will not tolerate it. If I am to teach you anything, Princess Quo-Steed, then let the first thing be that one must think before they act. You are impulsive, rash, and quite frankly a risk to yourself and others."
He gently lowered the ball of air to the ground, and Willow sprang into April's arms, licking her face.
"Wait, you're my teacher?" she asked, incredulous.
"Selanth, Ranger Selanth.
And yes, the king appointed me as your pyromancy tutor just this morning." "I'm to learn pyromancy?" Apparently you've taken some interest in the destructive arts. At least that's what the king suggested.
And you're a ranger?
For over a decade now, yes. My duties generally do not permit me to take time off, but an exception can be made for royal tutelage.
April considered this for a moment.
It furthers the reputation of the rangers to train a princess, I suppose. So what were you doing yesterday in Dryleaf Forest? Why the explosion? Who was in that cabin?
All in good time. I'm not ready to explain that right now, and believe me, you're not ready to hear it. It would simply add to the list of things a young girl is powerless to stop.
April decided not to press him on it, at least not yet. Given her tremendous loss to Salanth, she did feel powerless.
Right. To your feet, princess.
April stood up and dusted herself off.
Your form is pretty good, I must say. Did you learn swordplay from your father?
Yes, though his style is a little different from mine.
A man his size is surely more direct in his approach, Salanth chuckled.
He would directly slice you limb from limb, that's for sure,
April retorted, eyebrow raised.
Pray we need never find out, though I will admit his prowess in battle is that of legend. In any case, I'm not here to teach you to duel. What do you know of pyromancy?
The creation of flame from one's body by manipulation of the elements. It's dangerous and difficult to master.
Good.
Any idea exactly what one must do to the elements in order to create fire?
I'm not sure, April answered honestly.
Well, anyone can create a basic amount of heat by simply rubbing their hands together via friction.
Pyromancy is a development of that same friction but impressed upon the elements.
Salanth formed a small ball of wind in his left hand.
Observe.
The ball became smaller and smaller and began to emit a piercing light.
Pressure induces friction. The more pressure you place on the elements, the more heat is produced until eventually...
The ball shrunk in a blinding flash and disappeared before a pillar of fire exploded from Salanth's hand.
But wait, you did that using air.
Must you learn aeromancy before pyromancy?
Salanth smiled.
No, that's simply my preferred discipline. Any element can work, provided you can manipulate it and create pressure.
Have you any expertise in the elements so far?
April shifted where she stood.
I've mostly been taught the development of intrinsic magic so far.
Ah, then we must start at the very beginning. A nuisance, but one we can overcome.
Are you interested in aeromancy?
All magics, really. I'll learn anything I can.
Open-mindedness is good.
Risky, but good.
All right, lesson one. Stand on the balustrade.
What?
April stared at the large stone barrier surrounding the roof terrace and considered just how high up they were.
Oh, is my pupil being difficult already? Salanth smiled.
Not to be intimidated, April clambered onto the balustrade and carefully stood up. The wind was fierce. Every now and then a gust of air would threaten her balance. She could see for miles surrounding the palace, lands in every direction, though she dared not look below.
"Close your eyes," Salanth commanded.
April complied. Being able to see her potential death was doing nothing to calm her nerves in any case.
"Now feel the movements of the wind, the subtle changes in direction that predicate the clashing of air currents."
April considered for a moment what predicate must mean, before allowing the sensation of wind to flow around, over, and through her. She felt weightless, like an anteagle gliding in perfect balance with the elements. She outstretched her arms and could feel every motion of wind dance upon her fingertips, every movement that had come and every current of air that would come to pass.
"You feel it?"
April, in her trance-like state, did not respond.
"Good. Now, jump."
The idea of falling to her death shook April out of her meditation.
"What?" "It is a rite of passage to any new aeromancer. You must jump, trust the wind, and of course, trust your teacher."
April's mind shot back to not 10 minutes ago when she was fighting for her life.
"But," she stammered, "it is this or no tutelage at all. Trust me, princess, I will not fail you or the king in this endeavor. Trust in me and leap forward into your new destiny."
Willow looked on, uncertain. She could sense the rising tension. April considered her life until now. The lessons with her father, the adventures with Willow, meals shared, the fleeting memories of her mother. If she couldn't commit to this, her future was condemned to a life of boredom. She took a deep breath, and as she exhaled, extended her leg and proceeded to step forwards. Willow placed her front paws on the barrier and leant forward, whining.
Good. Trust in the wind.
And with that, April leant forward for what felt like an eternity and stepped off the balustrade into nothingness.